Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
We're in a series called Neighbours, and we've been talking a lot about how to love our neighbours more effectively. So if you don't mind, can we stand to our feet in reverence for the reading of God's Word today? We're going to be in 1 Corinthians 3 if you prefer to read your own Bible, but I'll have it on the screen for you from verse 10. I'll read along if you want to read with me. That's fine. I usually stumble when that happens, but that's all right. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on a foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. Father, we thank you today, God, that what you establish lasts for eternity. It's beyond temporal, it's beyond that which is in this life. But Lord, you call us to walk by faith and not by sight. It's so easy to get caught up in what we see. So God, give us eyes to see. Give us ears to hear what your Holy Spirit desires for us to see and to hear, in Jesus' name. Everyone said amen. The title of my message today is Rock Bottom. Rock Bottom. The importance of foundations. Now, here at Every Nation Brisbane, we believe in growing Christians. How many of you as a Christian, as a follower of God, your desire is to grow? Right. Good. Now, if you desire to grow, it's preferable that you grow on purpose. And there is what we have here called a discipleship process. There is a track that you can run in order to grow here in this house. Because we believe in growing, as we've established over the last few weeks, we believe in growing as disciples, okay? Not just as regular pew-sitting Christians, but as disciples of Christ. Here is the process that we have. It's what we call the four E's around here. Everybody say engage, establish, equip, and empower. Okay. When we are talking about engaging, we're talking about engaging the culture and community. Okay. We engage the culture and community by reaching out. How many of you know that Christianity was meant to be lived outwardly? It's not, being a Christian, it's not for the benefit of just yourself, but God saves you in order to help save others and lead others and engage in the culture and see the transformation of the culture, through your engagement of it. And so, no matter how young you are in Christ, some of you may have been saved or by Christ only for a matter of days, weeks, and months. God has called you to engage in that particular part of the culture and in the community with the gospel. And so, we're committed as a church to training you how to do this. And so, we have tools for those of you who are our followers of Christ that will help you to engage. We have the one-to-one. Henry mentioned the app. We also have life groups, and you're going to see this word mentioned quite a few times as we talk about this. And we also have events that happen in the church, but also within our life groups. Life groups, you know, you guys might want to, like we talked about last week, you might want to run a barbecue. How many of you know that the State of Origin is happening tonight? And that's a great, great opportunity to invite people over to your home and engage them in what is common ground. You might want to consider other events that your life group or your home might want to do to engage your people. We also have church-run events that help us to engage as a church with those that don't know Christ. But we want to live our Christianity engaging in the community. Christianity was never meant to be kept a secret, yeah? Right? Your Christianity was never meant to be something that you hide. The Bible's pretty clear on that. In Matthew chapter 5, he says, you are the light of the world. Turn to three people and tell them, you are the light of the world. And because you are the light of the world, the Bible goes on to talk about how a light was never meant to be put under a bowl or hidden in the bushel, right? The light was meant to shine like a city on the hill. See, here's the thing. We are all lights, but we're all gathered in here. How many of you know that some of the most beautiful scenery that you can see here in Brisbane is at night when you are either on the city side of Brisbane looking at South Bank, or even better, you're on South Bank side looking at the city. It's the lights. It's when the lights come together, they look beautiful. How many of you know that this church looks beautiful when the lights are all shining? And so that's how God's called us to engage. Where I'm going to go today is the second E, and this is where I wanted to focus a little bit more on today. And this is established. We're all about establishing biblical foundations. Now, we just read from 1 Corinthians a passage that talks about how what we live out in this life, what we're founded on, what is the center of our life, as Charles led us in worship, singing Jesus at the center of it all, will be tested at a period of time, you know, on the day, capital D, which means the judgment day. We will all stand before God and give a test as to what our lives have been founded on. And so here we are committed to establish foundations so that you will not be shaken. I'm gonna get into this, unpack this a bit more. We have a class called Foundations for Victory, which runs over 6 weeks. We'll be starting that at the end of August. So if you haven't been through that class, that will help you to establish good, strong biblical foundations. We have a tool called the Purple Book. Many of you have seen it at Kerrang, or you can get one out at the book table. But I encourage you, if you have not gone through the Purple Book, it will help you to establish good, strong foundations. We also have Victory Weekend. How many of you have been through Victory Weekend? It's transformative to go through Victory Weekend, where we declare Jesus' lordship over our lives. We get together, see how strong our foundations are. We also experience spiritual freedom. Remember the F words? Foundations, spiritual freedom. And then we experience God's fruitfulness in making disciples. And then we also baptize those who are new followers of Christ, who want to make a public declaration of their faith in Christ. That's where we establish them in their foundations. We equip believers to minister. And I can't emphasize enough, if you are here and your desire is to grow in God and want to know how to communicate your faith, look, I understand. Let me get real. This is Brother Nelly talking now. I understand how hard it can be to share your faith. I understand that, you know, there's a misnomer within the body of Christ that only specific people who are gifted with the gift of the evangelist are able to evangelize. So we'll leave it to those guys. Or there's the other misnomer that people that evangelize are those crazy people on street corners who have signs that say, repent or get sent, turn or burn. You know, so I don't want to evangelize because I'm neither gifted in it or I'm neither desiring to be hated by everybody. Everybody throwing stones at me because of my picket sign. Let me tell you something. There's two misnomers right there. If you are a follower of Christ, you are called to do the work of the evangelist. Every single one of us is called, and there's a connotation with that word evangelism that comes with those two kind of prerequisites. And I want to tell you that those prerequisites are wrong. Every one of us, if the gospel is strong in us, it should be birthed through us, and we should be able to tell people about Jesus. And we want to tear away at that misnomer and help you to share the gospel. And so from July the 8th, please sign up for this, because it's really going to help you in your walk with Christ to preach the gospel and learn how to effectively reach your community running life groups. This is really going to help you. So please sign up. You can use the app. Go sign up at the book table. There's no excuse. You've got to show up. It's on Sunday. It'll be right after church. And we'll get you more details on that. And then lastly, we have Empower, where we have our School of Leadership, which we're relaunching next year, which will help you to be empowered to make disciples, but to make disciple-making disciples and affecting change in your particular sphere of influence. But where I'm going to focus on today, as I said, is establishing biblical foundations. There's nothing glamorous about foundations, just like there's nothing glamorous about going to a building and looking at its foundations. How many of you have ever visited a building that is a monument? Like, if any of you have been to France and visited Paris, right? Oh man, Paul has. You know, you go to Paris, you go to the Eiffel Tower. Did you take a photo with the foundations? of the, look at this foundation. No, you don't. You go to the top of it. You enjoy, you know, the heights of it. You enjoy the view of Paris. You know, you try to shoot stuff from a distance so it looks like you're holding. How many of you have seen those selfies where you're holding the Eiffel Tower between your fingers? But you do different. You never take photos of the foundation. Right? When you go to a monument, never take photos of a foundation. Why? Because there's nothing glamorous about the foundations. But it's necessary for whatever structure to be built and to stand the test of time. It's necessary for a foundation to be strong. So, you know, all of us here as Christians, as followers of Christ, those of you who are followers of Christ, and even for those of you who may not yet be followers of Christ, we all want to know what we're born for. We all want a destiny and a purpose, want to figure it out, right? And I'm here to tell you today that the more you develop in that and the more you grow in that, but the foundations are weak, it's just a matter of time before you come toppling over. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7. It says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? There's a lot of using his name, but there's not a familiarity with the one who owns the name. This is going to be key in us understanding what it means to establish good biblical foundations. Many of you have heard me use the analogy. I'll just use it one more time, you know, because when I think about my life and who knows me the best, it's Tina, right? She didn't see me for half a second on my way here and knew that my shirt looked scruffy. She said, I know that man. And I know him so well that I do not want him to stand in front of the congregation with a scruffy shirt. So I will bring a shirt because I know him. Are you with me? I'm getting somewhere with this. We could be at Westfield, Chermside. Let's go there for a change. I always go to Garden City. Let's go to Chermside for all my Northsiders so you can be included in this analogy. And I can be upstairs at Betty's Burgers. Gonna get a witness somebody. All right. And she could be downstairs in the food court. Why am I using food analogies? Out of the abundance of my heart, the mouth speaks, or the lack thereof. I'm hungry, all right? And she can hear me cough from outside and she can know it's me. Because she knows me so well. For someone to know me that well, they only have to call me one time. Right? She doesn't have to say, Nellie, twice. Because if she says twice, couples retreat coming soon. I'll just leave it there. Are you with me? Because I know her, I don't need to say her name twice. Notice the number of times that the word Lord is said here. Why? Because there's not a deep knowledge of who he is. There's a lot of knowledge about him and you know how to operate with him, but you don't know him. You see, there's two Greek words that are used generally in the New Testament with regards to knowing him or knowing somebody, right? There's the Greek word, and some of you have heard me teach on this before. There's the Greek word oida, which means to know how to operate. And then there's the Greek word gnosko, which means to have an intimate knowledge of. Oida means that I know the surroundings. I know how to operate within that. For instance, you know, for those of you who watched the Pacific Cup yesterday, Matema Samoa, it looked like the Samoan team did not oida how to play rugby league. We lost. But that will be redeemed when Queensland wins tonight. Anyway, see, some of y'all weren't listening. Now I've got you in because I know you. See, that's my point. See, I oida in the context of worship how to operate this keyboard. But when I'm in worship, when I'm leading worship with Charles and Charles is leading out, I oida how to operate within the setting, but how many of you know it makes even more difference if I gnosko the God we're singing about? Right? That's the difference. I know how to lead people towards Christ because I know him. And that's really the, if we get down to brass tacks about evangelism and why people have a hesitation towards evangelism, is because they don't have a faith in the one that they're evangelizing for and who they're talking about because they don't know him. Do you know him? Or do you just know how to operate within that context? You know, I'm a basketball fan, right? I love my basketball. Many of you, again, have heard me use this analogy. Let's say if I was able, it's like on my bucket list, especially since my favorite player is about to retire, Dwayne Wade, in the Miami Heat. It's good because they're not doing very well, so prayerfully that bucket list will be fulfilled because we're going to Florida next year for World Conference. Amen. How many of you are believing God? Come on, God. I'm believing you. Gnosko you. And the tickets should be cheaper because they're doing terrible. So but let's say that this dream of mine comes true. It's mine and Henry's favorite player. And I get to go to American Airlines Arena where they play on South Beach, Miami. And I go to the area where they walk into the locker rooms. And I'm there on the floor and I say, D-Wade, it's me. What up? It's your boy, Nelly. Man, I've been watching your career since Marquette, since the 2002. And now, then when you were drafted. And yeah, you know, initially I supported the Heat because Shaq left the Lakers and they kicked him out. So I followed Shaq to see you play for the Heat. But then you became the star. And then I supported you, watched you in the good times and the bad. Even when LeBron tried to take the spotlight, you know, I supported you. And even when he went to Cleveland, no, you stayed steadfast, even though you went to Chicago for a year. But like, you stayed steadfast. And I have all your DVDs at home. I have your posters at home. I have the wedding photos of you and Gabrielle Union at home. We boys, I know you. And many of you know the first word that will come out of his mouth will not be awesome. It'll be security. Why is that? I know a lot about him. I oida him, but I don't gnosko him. That's where the foundation comes from, is the relationship that I have with him. See, on that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we cast out demons in your name? Did we not do mighty works in your name? There's a lot of operating in his name, like me with D. Wade and you with Jesus, you know, like, look, God, I've got all the versions from Kurong of the Bible. I've got like all the episodes of VeggieTales. And it's not even for my kids. It's for me. I've got all my favorite authors. I've got posters of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I've been in all the Christmas plays since I was 3. I was the donkey that you rode in on Palm Sunday. I even gave money to the church. I went on that short-term missions trip. I mean, sure, I took a lot of photos of, you know, like me at like certain sites and eating food and stuff, but like my heart was there. I've done a lot for you. What would Jesus say in a moment like that? I'm here to tell you today, if you know your Jesus, evangelism is not an issue. It's a privilege. Look at what how he responds. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. That's the point. The word there is gnosko. I never knew you. That's the foundation of which Jesus is talking about. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. I never knew you. Do you know him today? Then the very next scripture, because often if you look at your Bible, there'll be a differentiation with a different subject heading, but it flows right into the next part, because here is Jesus ending the Sermon on the Mount. This is the last part of the Sermon on the Mount. How many of you know last words are important? You know, when someone is on their deathbed, sorry to be so morbid, but when somebody is on their deathbed and they have an opportunity to tell you something of importance, those last words are very important. And here's Jesus' last words of probably the most prominent sermon that he ever preached on this planet. And it says here, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. What is the rock? Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Now, we don't have the time to fully unpack this, but if you want to write the scripture reference down, you can read it yourself. It's Matthew 16. When Jesus asks his disciples, who do you say that I am? And the disciples say, oh, some of them say Elijah, some say Moses. And then Peter pipes up after Jesus says, but who do you say that I am? And Peter says, you are Christ, the Messiah, Son of the living God. And Jesus says to him, blessed are you, Peter. And on this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades or the gates of hell will not prevail against it. What he's saying there is he's not building his house on Peter, but he's building his church on the rock of the knowledge of who Jesus is to Peter. Are you with me? That's what he wants to establish your life on. Your foundation will only be as strong as how much you know God, because how much you know him will determine how you obey him. right? It's not the other way around. I want to obey him to know him. No, I want to go deeper in knowing who he is so that out of the abundance of my life, out of the issues that flow out of my life, I will naturally obey who he is. That's the foundation. Check this out. Next verse. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. Sounds like Melbourne. But it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. It is possible, my brothers and sisters, there's been a temptation of the enemy as I've been praying for this message to be delivered to you today. The enemy's been trying to tell you, you are going to fall. But I'm here to tell you today, I'm here to debunk that myth. I'm here to tear it down. It's a lie from hell. You will not fall if you're founded on a knowledge of who God is, who Jesus is, what he has done for you at the cross. If your life is founded on the gospel of Jesus Christ, you will not fall. You won't. It's a matter of how well you know the gospel in your life, what your life is founded on. On the flip side, and everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. So you hear the word of God, but you don't do them. You hear the word of God, but you don't do it. You hear the word of God, but you don't do it. And so many of us, we've got to understand that Jesus' audience for this was a Jewish audience primarily. And a lot of the people that were in that audience were Pharisees. They had been hearing what God had been saying for a long time, but had not done with the heart of knowing him what he had told them to do. If you hear and don't do according to that scripture, I'm not trying to be a mean guy. According to that Bible and that scripture, it says we are fools if we hear what he says and don't do what he says. We are like a foolish man who builds his house on sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. My brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you today, the importance of building your foundation on Jesus is so vital when there's so much temptation to build your house on other things around. Great was the fall of it. Great was the fall of it. And I'm here to tell you too that there is no greater time in history for greater advancement than today. We have the advantage of airplanes and the internet to be able to take this gospel to more people than we ever have before. We have the advantage of social media to be able to take this gospel to wherever God has called us to. We have the advantage. There's no better time in history to take this gospel to the world. But here's the thing. A lot of us don't realize that we are in desperate need of the gospel, but we become complacent in the sharing of this gospel. And what ends up happening is the voices that are mostly the antithesis of the gospel, the antichrist voices, end up becoming the louder voices because the people of God will not stand up, will not speak of the love and the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ, but also the justice that he desires to bring. And so on the flip side, on one side of the coin, there's no more opportune time for us to present the gospel, but at the same time, there's no greater time to fall in public. Same thing with social media and the internet. And so it is important, again, that we have our foundation strong. I was a bit taken aback earlier this week. There's a rapper by the name of XXXTentacion. Earlier this week, some of my younger people will know who I'm talking about. My older people just vibe with me. It was the manner, he died earlier this week in Florida. He was getting ready to purchase a motorcycle when in his car somebody came up and shot him as he was about to get out of the vehicle. Now that alone is really sad. When you hear his music, he's actually searching, crying for help. I don't really recommend his music, especially for you younger listeners here, because it is hopeless. But there is, you know, when I hear music that's hopeless, my heart beats for those who are earnestly seeking the hope that's amidst that hopelessness. But what really saddened me about his death was no one really came to help him. In fact, many people stood outside their car yard and took photos of his dead body as he was seated inside his vehicle. Great was the fall of him. I I think, you know, just as a warning for all of us, we've got to understand that we live in a time that if we don't have our foundation strong on Jesus Christ, and again, I know I'm the pastor here at this church. I know I have a responsibility to lead you well, and I don't take that lightheartedly. But I would be amiss to charge you to build your foundations on my Christianity, because I am just a man. I urge you to build your foundations on Jesus Christ himself. How do we do that? We found our lives through prayer. We found our lives through a knowledge of the word of God and who he says he is, not just from me. Like, this is processed food I'm giving you. You need to get it organic from God, directly from him as well. Are you with me? This is so important for us to nurture an environment where every single person in here that calls themselves a Christian will not become so comfortable that they're reliant on my Christianity or my ability to teach, so that when I have an off day, you're like, well, I don't feel like being Christian because he's not a Christian. Look, I understand the responsibility of being called to lead you, but at the same time, you need to lead yourself as a Christian. And that is based on how solid your foundation is. You need to take responsibility for your own Christianity. That's the sort of believer we want to have in this house, is to be responsible for your own faith in God. Where is your faith at? How solid are your foundations? And when he says something to you, do you do what he says? When he says there is a person next door to you that needs the love of Jesus, but you don't speak up, please don't blame that on me. That is on you. You need to be responsible for those. And again, it comes out of the abundance of how deep you know him. I quoted the great theologians from Brisbane at our couples retreat, but it applies here. The great theologians, the BGs, the one saying, how deep is your love? I really need to learn, because we're living in a world of fools, breaking us down. Some of y'all never, see, I had to bring you back in. Some of the older crew were like, who's Extension anyway? What sort of rapper name is that? What happened to John and Bill? So I had to bring them back with BGs. Notice my technique here. Oh, some of you are like, I really need to learn. But it's true. It is true. Out of the abundance of how deep your love is for God and the revelation of how deep his love is for us, you'll naturally be able to communicate the gospel. It's not a task. It's a delight. It's not a duty. It's a privilege to be able to share the grace and the mercy. But Pastor Nelly, you don't understand. I'm going through a lot right now. Well, go through it with the gospel. Most popular passage in the Old Testament says, though I walk through, some of you won't get it unless I use the King James. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for the Lord my God is with me. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. That's not Coolio. That's the Bible. As I walk through the valley. No, that's, I take a look at my life and I see there's nothing left. There's nothing left for you, Coolio, because you didn't give it to God. He's with you always. So take those braids out and give them to Jesus. I'm losing my audience all over the place. What musical reference is he coming from? Okay, I'm tying this all up, everybody. Again, I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago because it was fresh. It was less than 24 hours after we got in the news, but I wanted to re-emphasize this, okay, as a question. And again, this is not to demean the legacy of these two great people. I mean, what they've achieved on this planet is great. But the fact that both of these people, Kate Spade, legendary designer, very innovative, and Anthony Bourdain, who I love his show. But this is the result of existentialism, which basically says that your existence is defined by your experiences. It's not fulfilling. We read that in Ecclesiastes, that there is no place that is more fulfilling than the least glamorous place of finding your foundation and knowing who Jesus is. Nothing glamorous about eating the carpet at a point of desperation, crying out to God. And, you know, I was grieved when I heard about these two people who both took their lives because of the emptiness. And I know what it's like to be empty. I know what it's like because I've been through it. I've been through it. Even as a minister of this gospel, to have ministry define who I am. And notice this is how subtle it is, that even ministry can be such an idol, that you build your foundation on your ministry and the work that you do for God rather than the intimacy of the relationship, the empowering relationship you have, the spirit empowerment of being in His presence and knowing Him face to face, not just for what He can do and what platforms He can elevate me for. I remember talking to an actress in the Philippines, and Tina and I were talking to her, a good friend of ours, and there was a period in her life where, like, she was, and she's like a theater actress, and she was like doing really well, and then there was a period where things slowed down, and she started to blame things on God, and I remember telling her, no, that's just the revelation of what your idol is. I'm sorry, I'm your friend, and I'm going to tell you straight up, the idol is your jobs. You're being defined by your craft. And you think God is some form of genie that's supposed to fulfill that purpose that you have, that you figured out you have. When God is actually taking a moment like this where you find yourself in somewhat of a desert place, at least in terms of employment, and don't use this as an opportunity to drive deeper in your foundations in God and say, God, I am desperate, but I want to be desperate with you. I'm in a place of desolation, but I know that there's no better place to be than in your presence. Again, there's nothing glamorous about a foundation, but it's moments like that that you actually determine what you're founded on, because that's the waves and the winds. Notice the Bible does not say if the waves and the winds hit your house, then you'll be able to stand. The Bible says when. And I'm sorry, and I have to apologize for those who are unchurched or those who are in this room today and you're not yet believers in God. I'm sorry if you've heard a false gospel that says, if you follow Jesus, then everything is going to be roses. That is a lie. The Bible says right here that you're going to face storms. You're going to face winds, but you face them with the Creator of all good things, who promises us in Romans 8:28, for all things work together for the good of those who love Him and accord according to His purpose. God's got you, man. What are you founded on? How solid is your foundation? How solid is your foundation today? And this is my question. Some of us in this room today are really challenged. You may have been in church a long time. You may have attended here for a long time, but it's in moments like this where your foundation is really tested. And I really want to encourage you today by taking a stand and saying, God, I want to found my life on You. I'm not going to allow myself to fall into the temptation of founding my life on other things. Those other things don't necessarily need to be things. Sometimes they're people. Sometimes they're the relationships that you have with people. And those aren't necessarily bad, especially if that foundation you built your life on is your spouse. Wouldn't it be sad if you're like, well, Pastor Nally preached that message and God showed me that my foundation's on You, so see ya. No, that's not what I'm saying here. Don't get me in trouble. What you should do with your spouse, or for those of you in other sorts of relationships as well, like courtship relationships, you need to ask yourself, is this relationship really glorifying God? And if you're married here, some of us need to repent, because we put expectations on our spouse to be Jesus rather than worshiping Jesus together and expecting Jesus to be Jesus and us just walk together in what we call sanctification to become like Jesus. But if you worship your spouse, how many of you know your spouse is going to let you down? What was once your dream man is now your nightmare. Some of you are like tapping your spouse on the shoulder. But you get what I'm saying? Like, please don't put that onus. And for my young people in here, sometimes it can be your peers, your friends, that if you don't have friends, I'm not talking about Facebook friends, I'm talking about real friends. If you don't have those friends, it's like, I don't know what to do with myself. That's a dangerous place to be in. That's your foundation. Tim Keller puts it best. He says, when that thing is taken out of your life and you find yourself in vertigo, that is your idol. What is your foundation today? Even ministry can be that thing. Please don't succumb to that. Your career being defined by that. Look, here at Every Nation Brisbane, we're going to be this sort of church that challenges you to look at what you're founded on. because out of what you're founded on will be out of how what you live.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.